You're listening to episode 340 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to this episode of the Building Psych Strength podcast. My name is Dr. April, and I'm your host, and I'm so happy that you're here. You know, I've heard from a number of you and just even from, you know, acquaintances and close friends and other people in my personal circle, just some concern for almost the state of affairs in the world these days. People are citing things like, you know, at the time that I'm recording this, this is the first week of March, which means the situation with Russia invading the Ukraine is very top of mind for people. We're watching these events unfold. We're also in the midst of a political climate in the United States that's very divided. We're in a situation with COVID where people have very different opinions about how we should move forward and what we should and shouldn't be doing. We are still in the ongoing social justice movement. I mean, you name it. There are so many, call them situations where you can see how divided humanity is around a lot of different topics. And as you take them, I mean, the climate crisis, like, gosh, I could keep going on. As you take them as a whole, it can feel very helpless. And it can feel as though we don't know what to do in order to make a contribution or make an improvement. Even, I mean, more so than that, it can feel like you just want to disengage from the whole thing. You might have felt that way. I certainly have felt that way. And it's interesting because in a climate like that, that is what got me really interested in having this today's guest on the show, because his message is one about interconnectedness in humanity and love being the piece that connects us to everyone else. That message felt so timely and necessary for us to cover. Today, we're speaking to a man named Juan Lee. Juan is an author and teacher on the powerful principle of love. For over 30 years, he has studied organized religion to find the elements that unite humanity and share the message with those who need it. He's based outside of Washington, D.C. He's a decorated U.S. Air Force veteran, and he is the author of the book Love Made Simple. I'm so excited for you all to hear this powerful message because it feels like it is one of hope. It also feels like it is one of action. It gives us some practical steps that we can take in order to start reuniting humanity, even if it's just in the small circle that we all inhabit in our lives. Also, there is a powerful message. And if you know me, if you've listened to this podcast, you know how important this is to me. There's a powerful message at the end of the importance of time and the importance of how you spend your life. I don't want you to miss that. I'm so excited for you all to meet Juan Lee. Let's roll that episode. Juan, I am so excited to have you on this episode of the podcast. Your message is such an important and powerful one, and it is so timely that we have this conversation. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, April, for having me. I've been looking forward to this. I have so much to say and share with your audience.
I want to dive right in. I want to get right to the heart of the matter of what you focus on. You wrote a book called Love Made Simple. Tell me about why you wrote that book and just the highlights of what the concept of the book is.
It was based around the fact that we really don't learn about love. We basically gather it and give it our own interpretation or our understanding. It's something that we really... it's been made more confusing than simple, you know, and it's something that I've come to realize is we all have this ability to possess it if only we would understand it, its value. I mean, it has value. And I spent the last 30 or 40 years looking for that value. And it started from a point where I was about 17 years old and I was lost in this thing called life. I graduated from high school and I had no identity. I was lost. And I had been a part of religion all my life, but there was no answers to what it was that I was feeling. And I needed something, some way of being able to make what I was learning practical, something that I could use in my day-to-day life that made me being here worth being here. You know, I just didn't have any, I was low self-esteem. I graduated from high school with an undiagnosed learning disability. Life was frustrating at best. And when I graduated, I was like, how am I going to survive?
Yeah.
How am I going to survive? And I realized that I needed help. And so I enlisted in the military. And the military began to show me things that I had not understood about life. But it was about something bigger than I was. I was part of something that was bigger than I was in the military, and I was able to see it and recognize it. And so in the military, there were systems that would allow us to plug into so that we would be able to be successful in the military. And so with my background of being in the religion and understanding that there was this word called love that had been always been shared, but not really explained as it relates to how it would never fail. And what I began to see in the military was systems never fail. Systems are meant to accomplish a particular outcome over and over again. And I began to see how what it takes to be a part of a system that never fails. And that was what I realized. Love was the system that never fails. And in the military, it was really difficult because the first few years, it was like, man, why is it that this is so difficult? And this is the same thing that we struggle with life. Why is this so difficult? Because there's an attitude that we have to have that goes along with the system. And if you don't have the right attitude, the system won't accept your input. It won't accept your input because the system is already designed with specific attitudes necessary to get the outcome. And so what it was is me learning about the system and the attitudes necessary to be successful.
And you're talking successful in life, like in leading a successful life.
In life.
Yeah.
It's exactly what love is the system for success in life. It gives us everything that we need with understanding the system, and then having the right attitudes for it. You can't fail.
That's so interesting. It really relates to, you know, as you talk about it being such a critical part to being successful in life, there's a lot of different schools of thought in psychology and especially positive psychology, which is kind of the realm we get into, you know, with what we're talking about. But, you know, Martin Seligman is one of the first scholars who really pioneered the field of positive psychology. And he talked a lot about he has this framework for understanding what it means to have a good life, to have what he calls the good life. And one of them is relationships. So it's this idea that we develop interconnection with other people. It's not just any relationship. It's not surface level. It's not relationships for the purpose of achieving a specific end. Not like that. True interconnected relationships are an absolutely vital aspect in achieving the type of life that we're all after, that good life, that thriving life.
That's exactly the components that you need in love. That's the, those are the characteristics that you're talking about, that, that once you get them, you understand that you are essential to me and I'm essential to you for me being able to reach my full potential. I can't reach my full potential without that relationship that helps me. There's a whole lot that I don't know. And that's what I was saying to you earlier. I was like, I realized that I needed help. And this is a fundamental thing that we all understand, is that we are connected for the purpose of being able to reach our potential.
Mm.
Our potential is connected to one another. We can't do it apart from each other. Yeah. We need one another to reach our best selves.
This is interesting because if you think about the culture of the United States, we're a very individualistic culture. We look at ourselves and we say, no, I alone need to get myself to that level of achievement, to the point that you've probably heard people say this at, it happens at work a lot. They'll achieve a certain goal, a project will go extremely well, they'll invent the next big thing, like huge achievement, right? And they'll say, but it doesn't count because it wasn't me. All these other people contributed, or I had a big team that contributed. So it's not like I'm that smart or I achieved that. It's that we did. And we, as this very individualistic culture, look at that as though it's a bad thing. And you're flipping that on its head with this radical notion that, no, that's how it should happen.
Absolutely, because here's the point. Unfortunately, if we take it to the working place, the workplace, the umbrella that we all operate under is the organization in which we are representing. And what we have to offer allows the organization to be its fullness. And when it's its fullness, we are our best. Mm. It's only as good as we have provided what it takes to get there.
Yeah.
It's us that makes that organization what it is. And it's as we collectively put our resources together, this is one, it's a very interesting thing, because as it relates to team building, you get more together than separate.
Yeah.
You get, and this is just no more than just think tanks. You go sit down and you think and talk to each one, and you begin to exercise different opinions and different perspectives. And you'd be like, whoa, never thought about that. See, we're caught in this mindset of being able to think that we have everything.
Yeah.
One of the characteristics of love is humility. We've got to understand that what we have, its only value is when it's connected to something. Mm-hmm. It's not in a vacuum. It doesn't hold the value that it can play in a vacuum. It has to be connected to something, again, to the system. It's a part of something bigger than just the part that you play. You give value, and that's where each and every one of us has to appreciate what we bring.
Yeah.
We have to have, we've got to be in a, one of the three of the, one of the parts of love. The first part is being able to be self-aware. You know, people talk about self-love. You really have to be able to know yourself before you can begin to make this investment to be able to give self and to be able to love in this unconditional. Let me just take that back. This place of love, because I have an issue with unconditional, because love doesn't have conditions. The pact of being this uncompromising, unapologetic self, you're giving it, and it knows that it has a place at the table.
Mm.
It has a place at the table. And as you are giving yours, the others are giving theirs, and you are developing this canvas that we all are a part of. We all are a part of that makes us up as the bigger thing that's more important than any one part. Mm-hmm. It's called, as it relates to me and love, it's the part that we call humanity. We are all a part of this thing called humanity that's bigger than any one part of us, any one part. And the thing is that I like to share with people is that when you understand that your value is in the connection, we really begin to understand that what we have is only temporary.
Say more about that.
It's only temporary. This experience called life is temporary. But if we wanted to extend past our experience, we've got to invest it. We have to invest it into humanity so that it will advance and be able to begin to grow into the future. It begins to nurture those that are to come. Just as those that were before us gave to us, nurtured us, that we would be able to stand in this place, this present time, so that we could invest into the future. It's how we protect and preserve humanity from generation to generation is love.
That's so good. It ties back so much. You know, we talk a lot about the importance of having, I'm going to say meditation practice, not the word mindfulness right now, a meditation practice. And we've talked in the past about different, you know, using meditation to achieve different end goals. You know, there's meditation that is like literally straight, almost attention training. You're trying to keep your mind on the present moment. It's the meditation that I like to call the eat your vegetables meditation, because it tends to be more boring and people don't enjoy it, but it is a very necessary activity. We also talk about, you know, guided visualizations and things like that, that can be really great for, imagining and ideating on what could be. But you're really hitting on another specific type of meditation that has been termed metta or loving kindness meditation. This idea that we can see our place in the larger community by fostering a sense of loving kindness between us and, literally the words are, every other human being on the planet, and even beyond human beings, like the environment and other things like that. Can we develop this connection between us and everything else? Because then our contribution matters that much more. The ripple effect and the result of our actions matters so much more. Whether that action, that result, or that ripple effect is a positive one or a net negative one, it matters so much more. And it puts a level of responsibility on us to be a good, say, global, earthly citizen.
Absolutely. You nailed it. You hit it on the head, in the sense that the boundaries on this experience called life is unforgiving. It's called time. And you only get one shot at time. It's the moment. That's it. Your investment into humanity is right now. And when you understand that it's only temporary, the value of it hits the roof. Mm-hmm. The value hits the roof. And we, for the most part, don't recognize that it's the most precious thing that we have. And it's the moment that we exercise the investment that we're choosing to put into humanity that gives it the validity and the distance, the length of time that it will exist. Mm. We've got to recognize it. It's that investment that is it's great. It's nothing greater than it. And time tells us you don't get do-overs.
Yeah.
It's whatever you do with this moment is what invested into eternity. We've got to appreciate this temporary experience called life and live it to its fullest with a purpose.
Yeah.
And that when we know that it's connected to something that's greater than just ourselves, that gives value to this experience that many of us don't experience, don't understand. It's something greater than what we are visually looking. The things that we're going through right now, we're just putting our stamp on this thing called humanity. And what is it that we want it to represent into the future? Mm. Right now, it's not a very good picture. But it's love allows us, each one of us, to change or to demonstrate the value that we all place on it.
Yeah.
And that's for humanity. That's when we decide, you know, the three characteristics, and I'll just say this, three characteristics we talked about, the second one, which was a conduit. I think we talked about it.
Yeah, go through the three, just the so we've three, got a good like bullet point list.
The three characteristics of love is, the first one is that it's a chameleon. A chameleon is something that really blends in to the tapestry so that everybody will succeed. It's like, I will sacrifice what I believe for the sake of the good of all.
Yeah.
That's what love does. Love sets a foundation. It's like sets down a platform that allows success to be available. Because without that agreement to understand that we're in this thing together, we're really not, we're going to be struggling, because I can't appreciate you. I see differences instead of comparisons. I mean, things that we have in common. And then the second one is the conduit. And that allows to take down any of the selfishness out of it. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to go up and say, what I have, I'm giving it with no expectations of getting anything in return. None. I'm going to just open myself up to you. Now, if everybody in this platform is willing to do that same thing, we get this back and flow, back and forth. It's like I'm providing you your needs and you're providing me my needs. And then the wonderful thing about love, and this is the third one, it's that it's a choice. Each and every one of us has the ability and has the option to choose to love. Choose to be a part of the fabric that allows us to connect to one another and flow with this connection back and forth, allowing everyone's needs to be met. And to the point where fulfillment is just inevitable. That's what love does. That's what love does. Those are the characteristics. And once we begin to understand how valuable that is, that gives us a idea as to what we're working with. This platform and this thing that we call life, it has a system. Mm. And we're all here meant to operate in that one system called humanity. And that system is love for humanity. That's the thing that provides all of our needs. It protects us. And it makes sure that we have a future. It preserves humanity, because mm-hmm. we as humans have the ability to destroy humanity. And right now, we're in a very precarious position, because humanity is in a very confused place right now. And I'm talking about the European situation, because humans can really destroy other humans.
Yeah.
In totality.
Yeah. Well, and it's even broader than that, right? So just to ground everyone as to the timing of when we're recording this episode the first week of March 2022. And at this current moment, Russia has invaded the Ukraine. We're all watching, across the world, what is happening with that. That's one aspect of this. If you zoom in, though, on, you know, we've got a climate crisis on our hands. We've got a political situation in the United States that's very divided. I live in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and what happened with George Floyd's recent murder just sparked a re-ignitement of the social justice movement in a modern age. I mean, you could name so many more topics. And I, you know, we were talking about this a bit before we hit the record button. I'm hearing from parents and people saying, I don't know how to even be in this system right now. I don't understand it. I don't know what my role is. I don't know what to even do. It feels helpless. And the gut instinct that people are having is to just disengage, like just unplug from the whole thing, because it all feels so heavy and impossible. And I would love for you to talk a little bit about your advice for people in that situation, because it is a very real, complex time that we're in.
You know, the number one characteristic for love, and let's explain a little bit. Love is an action word. It's a verb. It's an action word. We have to demonstrate. And I think until we recognize, until we decide that we want to demonstrate love, and I want to be clear when I talk about love in this sense, because love is a high desire that we have for something. It's a real, it's an emotional thing that we have towards something else. And you can do that and be on, and be wanting to do things harm. You can want to be able to, you can want to do harm and have that still that same desire and emotion, that high emotion for something else or for something. And so when you get two people with the same height of emotions towards the same issue, but on different, from different perspectives, you have the power, you both are loving something to this high degree that you're willing to act on. And the one thing that we're unable to expose ourselves to is tolerance. Because of that compassion, that high degree of emotion that we're putting on what it is and how we've interpreted it in our minds. And it's difficult to be able to come to it, but we need to be able to have compassion. We've got to be able to recognize that we all have different perspectives to that same issue. So even as it relates to the very issues of the politics in our country, to the issue in Europe, you know, there are so many people that has different opinions about the exact same issue. And they would identify it and associate it with, this is a strong feeling towards it, which is love. This is that ability to be able to over to see something and allow it to be the motivation. Because love, all love does is an action of our motivation. It just demonstrates our motivation. And so when we can begin to stop and say, okay, there are many different perspectives as it relates to this one issue. And I've got to understand that each one of those perspectives play a part in the whole understanding of this situation. And instead of us seeing them as different, we got to look at each other and see value, because they are a part of the whole picture. We are all in this thing together, but we've got to change the mind as it relates to seeing them as the enemy versus seeing them as a part of humanity and as valuable. We can see, we have to understand that there is value in each and every one of us, no matter where we are, what position we hold, because we're here together And we need to understand that our fulfillment, our potential is connected to one another. Maybe I won't be connected to the one, but somehow or another, if we look at the puzzle, I might not be a corner piece, but I may be a piece that's in the middle on the top. But together, we make this picture called humanity. And that's what love is. We've got to be tolerant. We've got to be able to see value in every situation. We don't have to agree with what they're saying, but okay, look for the value. Don't look for the difference. I think that's the difference, is that we're looking for the difference so that we can solidify our position.
Yeah.
But instead, look for the things that connects to my position, because that's what's going to begin to build the pattern or the picture for humanity. Not what divides us, it's what connects us. Mm-hmm. It's a mindset. We've got to begin to think in connection instead of division.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned this, it's an interesting segue into some of the other work that you do. I mentioned, you know, I'm hearing this from parents, and there's a distinct reason why parents are reaching out right now, because they're seeing what's happening in the world. And they're saying, what does this mean for the world that my child would inherit, how they see their role in that world? And so much more than that. You actually have some incredible work in a nonprofit that is aimed at really elevating the next generation. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it connects so much to what, you know, this discussion we just had about, you know, current events and how our interconnectedness, the lack of that really is fueling them.
Yeah. I mean, and they're coming to their own conclusion and still suffering from the results of what we're seeing, because, you know, this is new for everyone. But I thank you. I have a nonprofit. I'm the founder and executive director of a nonprofit called Clear Journey, where we teach, educate teens and young adults about financial literacy and attitudes for success in life. It's about giving them the tools necessary to navigate so that they can avoid some of the pitfalls to prevent this type of tension. Let's not be divisive. Let's learn how we can work together and how we blend, how we are meant to give ourselves to one another for the betterment of all. We all can be successful. It's not about me being more successful and you being less successful. It's about us all being successful because we're here together. We're here as human beings all over the world. And what these tools are that we give you is how to navigate this experience called life. You know, nobody tells us. There's no class called Life 101. You know, but what I'm doing is giving you the tools so that you can navigate it, so that we can all be successful. Give us a different perspective as it relates to how we've been trying to figure it out. I'm saying, hey, here's an option. Here's another option that might serve you and everyone else around you a little bit better.
That's amazing. You know, you talked about financial literacy being one of those. Can you just highlight a couple of the other just kind of life skills that you're teaching people throughout this nonprofit?
Well, that's the primary one, because I think that we have a program that's called Life and Money. And basically your life is connected to your dreams, in the sense of, if we don't have the ability to manage our finances adequately and successfully, we begin to throw away our opportunities, because what finances does is it provides opportunities. And without us having those resources to provide those opportunities, you miss out on some of these experiences that begin to mold and shape your life.
Yeah.
That's the major one. And then we talk about attitudes. We basically talk about, what frame of mind do you need to be in to be able to navigate a life successfully? Because life is going to be, it's moving. And like I said, the biggest boundary, the biggest boundaries for life is called time. And you don't get do-overs. You've got to begin to realize that from the time that you can engage this thing called life, that you've got to begin to use those experiences to build on this experience so that you know that, you know, you're getting the value that's necessary that you want to invest into it, because it's all about investing. You know, we get to a point where it's all about giving, giving, getting, getting, getting. No, it's about investing. It's about the, having the ability to invest into humanity. The biggest things that you have to know, and I'll just say it with this, is that when you develop yourself, you accept yourself, then you can give yourself.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to understand, without development, without accepting, without doing these things on the inside, which we call self-love, you don't have anything to give.
Yeah.
It's that uniqueness that you have to develop so that you can give. And that's what we try to do with the nonprofit, is that at a younger age, the younger that you are, you will get it so that you won't have to fall prey to not knowing who you are and putting yourself in situations where other people begin to dictate to you your experience.
Yeah, that's so amazing. And it's such a worthwhile cause to, you know, put so much energy and effort behind. You know, when you think about, I was on another person's podcast the other day, and she asked what I wanted for my own daughters and what I hoped that they would have. And it really did center on so much of that. And I think it's very common for parents to want their kids to feel worthy, to want their kids to feel embodied in this life, like they can fully participate, to have their kids feel like their actions have a purpose and have a meaning. And I can see how much that's a cornerstone in the work that you're doing with your nonprofit.
It's all about that. It's being able to be in control. That's what options are, allowing you to be in control of your life instead of our other people being able to manipulate and manage you. You're able to make decisions based on options.
Yeah.
And so many of us don't have those options. And unfortunately, we've been led not to think that we deserve those options.
Yeah. This is amazing. Can you just give us a little direction? Where can people find out more about you, about your nonprofit, about your book? Where can we find you online?
Well, the nonprofit is called clearjourney.org. You can go there and you can check out what we're doing, what we have online right now. We're going to be developing a Facebook page. And so you can follow me there. But also to get the book, it's wanleetheauthor.com. You can go there and pick up an ebook, or you can go to Amazon or Barnes and Noble, wherever you get get your books delivered or pick them up from. I'm on all of the social medias. I'm on the LinkedIn at Wan Lee. I'm at Facebook at Wan Lee Author. I'm at Instagram at Wan Lee Author, and Twitter at Love Made Simple.
Amazing.
The book is for the whole entire family. You know, I break the book down into stages of life: teens, young adults, adults, and seniors. And I just knit them all together at the end of each chapter, give you a pathway to success for that stage in your life. It doesn't matter. I believe that the book is meant for everybody. We're in this thing together, and I wanted each age group, each stage of life, to know that each place has value in our experience here together.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for being with us today. This has just been, it's the right timing. We talked about that a little bit before as well, before we hit the record button, that given everything that's going on, given everything that we've been through recently, this is the reminder that we all need. Our interconnectedness within humanity and society is so critical. And that glue that binds it together, being, you know, the love that you talked about, is so important. So Juan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. By the way, if it's anyone, you can go to my YouTube channel also, and you can see as many videos as you like of this message of love. And I look forward to any of you connecting with me so that we can administer this love to the world together.
Amazing. All right, guys, stick with me for just a couple of more minutes. I have some great resources for you in just a second where you could just take a few of the topics that we talked about a little bit deeper if they piqued your interest. So hang out for a second and I'll be right back with some additional resources. All right, friends, I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Juan. I feel like I'm walking away with a bit more hope in my heart and a bit more connection to others around me. I feel like I've almost regrounded in my position in society and honestly reconnected to the reason why I do exactly this work, why I love the podcast so much, why I love the work that we're doing at Peak Mind so much, and why I am so passionate about it. I feel like today was such a great reminder of why we do what we do. Before I let you go today, I want to talk about a few things. Number one, I want to reconnect you to a very recent episode. Just a couple of weeks ago, we released episode 338. It's called Discover What You Truly Desire. This is an episode that is a very life designy episode, if that's a word. But it's an episode where during that episode, we hit on the importance of how you spend your time, the importance of this one life. You know, one started talking about that as part of this episode, and I wanted to go down that rabbit hole so badly, but I knew we wouldn't be able to hit some of the important information that only he could share in this episode. So, in order to help you deepen into that specific topic of the importance of life, of the importance of time, of the importance of the choices you make with your life, please go check out episode 338 and as a special treat, if you didn't catch that episode the first time it came around, right as it was released, you might not know that there is a free guided experience that accompanies that episode. So there's a link inside that episode where you can go, you can click on it, you can get access to a guided visualization as well as a workbook to help you uncover some of the things that you truly want to create in your life. What are those underlying desires? I could go ad nauseum about how valuable that episode is, but just please go check it out if you are interested in figuring out what it is you truly desire so that you can make the most of your time here. Episode 338, it's linked below in this description and on the show notes page. Second, I want to highlight a blog post that Dr. Ashley, my co-founder in PeakMind, wrote. It's called Social Connection, A Key to Happiness. This is so related to what we talked about with Juan. She talks about the fact that loneliness is an epidemic, that we absolutely need to feel connected to other people. And this relates back to that notion that I spoke about with, Seligman's work on developing close personal relationships. Please go check that post out, because if there is one factor that we find in the field of positive psychology drives more well-being and more thriving, it is our social connections. So please go check that out. The link to that blog post is below. And finally, I just want to highlight Juan's book. You know, if you head over to his website, juanleetheauthor.com, again, linked below, you can get access to his book, his blog, some additional information about the content that he's putting out there. But truly, this is foundational stuff that is in his book. So I would highly suggest go check out that book. The link to it is below. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being in this community. As we talk about the interconnectedness that we all have with one another, I can't help but think about the community that we're building here. And I am so grateful for every single one of you. Truly, every time I hear from one of you, every time one of you leaves a rating or a review on iTunes, I'm reminded as to why I do this work and why it's so important to me. So truly, thank you. And finally, this is another good reminder, given what we just talked about, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet. And I'm grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I'll see you next week.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.